Everybody, I see it's time for our shiur to begin. As we mentioned yesterday, the mitzvah of kibud avaim that appears in this week's parsha is an extremely critical mitzvah. It's a very important mitzvah, and many people are probably unaware of the intricate halachos that govern how one is supposed to deal with this mitzvah. So to that end, I was reminded of the comment made by the Chafetz Chaim, where he writes something that he applies to many other circumstances, many other scenarios throughout halacha, but it certainly would apply here as well. The Chafetz Chaim writes in the Sefer Avas Chesed, Shamati b'shem Gadol Echad. He says, not identifying who it is that he heard this from, but he says he heard from Gadol Echad. Ki mi shelo lamad, someone who did not learn, someone who didn't bother to educate themselves. V'nichshal al yidei zeh be'ezeh davar. And because, as a result, as a consequence of the fact that I have not educated myself, I now made a mistake. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, Gadol avono minaso. That person is going to be held responsible, is going to be held accountable for the mistake that they have made. A person cannot just put up their hands and say, well, I didn't know, I didn't realize that this wasn't permissible, I didn't realize that this is how I'm supposed to perform the mitzvah or stay away from that avera. He says, all of us have the opportunity, all of us have the ability to educate ourselves and to make sure that we know what our duty is. And if we choose not to, says the Chafetz Chaim, Damo Barosho, that is our obligation, that is our responsibility, and we cannot hold anyone else accountable. And he gives a mashal to this end. I love quoting the Chafetz Chaim's mashalim because I often find they're so relevant and they're just so obvious. So he writes, Davar Zedom Eleachat Shehalach Baderach. He says, you have somebody who's going down a path, down a road, V'yatsu Alav Anashim. He's never been down this road. He's going hiking somewhere and he's never been to this terrain. And individuals who have been there in the past gave him some sort of advice. Yishmar atzmo milelech b'derech plonis. They tell him, it's not advisable, it's not very wise of you to go down this route because we've been there before. V'yeh shamboru samukos, and there are very deep potholes there and we're concerned for you. Maybe you can fall into one of them. Vayan vayomer, and he says back to them, I understand what you're saying. He internalizes the message that they're giving him. But he says, yeshli eitzel azeh. You know, I have a good idea. I have a way to take care of myself. And what is that? He requests of them, Haviu li sudar. He says, I would like you to bring me a towel. So they turn back at him and they're shocked. What is a towel going to help you? And they ask him, do you plan to take the towel and fill up every pothole that you pass? That's not going to be enough to fill up all these holes along the way. And he finally responds to them and he says, Achases enaibo. It's very smart of me to have a towel because this way I can cover over my eyes with a towel. Now, what is that going to help? He says, by covering over my eyes, when I fall into a pit, lo yia li lalag, it's not going to be so funny when I fall into a pit. Everyone's going to have rachmanis on me. They're going to say, look, he fell into a ditch and his eyes were covered over. Of course he fell into the pit. Ki halo ein ahayi mechusas v'la ra'isi asaboros. I couldn't see the pits. Now they respond to him and they say, you fool. People are going to look at you as a greater fool than they would have thought of you beforehand. You had the opportunity to walk around this path with your eyes open and to see what is in front of you, and instead you chose to cover over your eyes and now you're going to fall into the pit and think people are going to have more mercy, more rachmanas on you. It doesn't make any sense. And writes the Chafetz Chaim, that is the same thing that very often we choose to do. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, we often choose that instead of educating ourselves, instead of making sure that we listen to those, to the experts who might know how to guide us down a path that might be a little bit dangerous, a little bit difficult for us in our spiritual sense, writes the Chafetz Chaim, we choose to ask for that towel. It's much easier for us just to cover over our eyes and to say, well, I wasn't educated, I didn't know, what am I supposed to do? And writes the Chafetz Chaim, the only one who looks like the fool when that happens is us ourselves, not the Ribono Shel Olam and not our friends who knew better, but it's only ourselves. We had the opportunity to educate ourselves and to know well what our duty, what our obligation is, and we chose not to do so. And to that end, I feel very much the Chafetz Chaim writes this in his Hakdama to Chelek Gimel of Mishneh Berurah, that it is impossible for a person to ever observe the laws of Shabbos without going through it very carefully and meticulously, because there are so many details, there's so much that we don't know. Just because our parents may have kept Shabbos in a certain way, maybe we didn't learn everything from our parents. Maybe we didn't pay attention enough. Maybe we didn't fully understand everything that they did, or maybe they also made some mistakes. And writes the Chafetz Chaim, every person has the obligation to make sure that they do to the best of their ability, go through the halacha. So it's told about the Chazon Ish, that Chazon Ish made a comment on the Gemara Maseches Megillah, where the Gemara tells us that there's a Takanas HaKadmonim, Moshe Rabbeinu's Takana, also that Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, 30 days before every Yom Tif, we have an obligation to study the Hilchos HaChag. We have to make sure that we become familiar with all of the halachas that govern that particular yomtiv, that particular holiday, and writes the Chazon Ish that many times yeshiva bachrim used to come to him and say, well, which part of the halacha should I focus on? And he said, well, 30 days before you go on vacation, 30 days before you go home, you better take out a Shulchan Aruch Yeruday and learn over the halachas of Kibbut Avaim, because that is the mitzvah sayom. You're going to go to your parents' home, you're going to get in all kinds of disagreements and fights with them about certain things, and you don't really know the governing principles of Kibbut Avaim, and it's your obligation, said the Chafetz Chaim, to make sure that you study that well before you have the opportunity to be with your parents and before you encounter them and perhaps some uncomfortable moments. So writes the Chazon Ish, this is really the obligation of all of us. And it doesn't matter, like we said yesterday, whether we're still dependent on our parents as young children or whether we're adults, like we said from the Ksav Sofer. That's why the Torah says this mitzvah of Kibbut Avaim was given in Mara at a time when we were not reliant on our parents, on a time when our parents were not giving us food, were not providing us with water, when our parents were not providing us with anything in life. The Ribono Shel Olam himself was doing it all. And still, the mitzvah of Kibbut Avaim applied then because it is an unconditional mitzvah. So we have to be mindful of what the mitzvah is. If it is such an important mitzvah, many Rishonim and Acharonim have been bothered. Why is it that a bracha is not recited when we perform this mitzvah? It's a strange phenomenon. When we do any other mitzvah that we perform throughout the year, we shake the lulav, we blow the shofar, we light the menorah, everything else that we do, we recite a bracha. And suddenly, when it comes to the mitzvah of Kibbut Avaim, we don't do so. And the question is, why is that the case? Writes the Rashba, a very famous answer that he has in his tshuva that is applied to many other mitzvahs HaTorah. So the Rashba assumes the reason why is because the only time I can perform a mitzvah and recite a bracha is when I know that by performing this act, the mitzvah is going to be done. So if I pick up the lulav, my mitzvah is going to be done. When I blow the shofar, my mitzvah is going to be performed. But here, where I need to have the participation of someone else, here, let's say I'm about to bring my father a cup of coffee, and I make a bracha with kavana, asher kedushan mitzvos v'tzivanu l'kayim mitzvos kibbut avaim. And now, I go to my father with the coffee, and he says, I'm not interested, I didn't want a coffee, I actually don't drink coffee. Or, you made the wrong kind of coffee, or whatever it may have been, it turns out you have not fulfilled your mitzvah of kibbut avaim, and it turns out you made a bracha levatala. And therefore writes the Rashba, whenever you have a mitzvah that requires somebody else's participation, and that other person can turn away and say, I wasn't interested, I didn't want it, or it turns out your father wasn't even home, or he was sleeping. So then the mitzvah of Kibbut Avaim was not performed, and a bracha was recited for no good reason. And therefore, writes the Rashba, when we have a situation like this one, we do not recite a bracha. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Prima Gadim in Shulchan Aruch writes along these lines, that this is why, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, it's already Tu B'Shvat, so we have to think about Purim. So I think the Prima Gadim writes, this is the reason why we don't recite a bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Because, who knows, you're going to come to someone's house to drop off the Mishloach Manos, and it turns out they don't like you, or they're not interested in your Shloach Manos, they have enough candy in the house, or they're not home, whatever it may have been. So here I am dropping off the Shloach Manos, making my bracha, and it turns out I wasn't mekayim the mitzvah, because there's somebody else that needs to accept my mitzvah in order for it to go into effect. And therefore, writes the Prima Gadim, perhaps that is the reason why when it comes to Mishloach Manos, we don't recite a bracha, whereas by many other mitzvahs, especially on Purim as well, we would recite a bracha because we need the participation of someone else by Mishloach Manos as opposed to many other mitzvahs that we do. The Stechemet has a very strange, a very unusual reason that he suggests why we don't recite a bracha on the mitzvah of Kibbut Avaim, and he says perhaps the reason why is because every so often you have a child who is the product of a mamzerus, you have a child who is the product of an illicit marriage. And in such a case, writes the Stechemet, what's going to happen? Every time this child who's a mamzer, who's suffering the rest of his life being a mamzer, has to go and service his parents, he has to recite a bracha, thank you for giving me the opportunity to service you. After all, you did a horrible thing to bring me into the world, writes the Stechemet. How could a person make a bracha like that? Ein zeh mevarech ela menayitz. That's a disgrace to make a bracha on parents like that. And therefore he says, because we don't want to humiliate that child who's going to serve his or her parent who might have created this situation of mamzeres, therefore he says, nobody makes a bracha on fulfilling a mitzvah of Kibbut Avaim, because we might have that one strange case where you have a mamzer, and that would be an unusual thing to make a bracha on the mitzvah of Kibbut Avaim, which is a very strange kind of reason. How often do you have a mamzer, and even in such a case, do we really have to go so far to say that is the reason why? So the Stechema deals with the issue, and he tries to think about whether or not it's the right answer, or perhaps the wrong answer, but he gives another suggestion in the name of some of the prominent Acharonim, and that is, when you perform a regular mitzvah, I light my Neris Chanukah, I go and I blow my shofar, I go and I lay in the Megillah. Those are very quantifiable mitzvahs. Those are mitzvahs that are very easy for me to fulfill. Sometimes it's not as easy, but I know how I'm going to do it. Over here he writes, the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, there's such a high expectation to perform the mitzvah of kibud av va'em properly. He says, how can you dare make a bracha and say, asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu? You instructed me, you informed me that I'm supposed to do this. You don't even know if you're doing half of the mitzvah that you were instructed to do. So how can a person make a bracha when you don't even know if you're going to perform the mitzvah the way it's supposed to be done? And to that end, the Yerushalmi has the famous story about Rab Zeira, who unfortunately at a young age lost both of his parents. And he bemoaned the fact that he didn't have parents because as a result of not having parents, not only did he miss out on a lot of the love that he was supposed to have by his parents, but he also missed out on the fact that he couldn't perform the mitzvah of kibud av va'em. Until later on in his life, Rab Zeira says, you know, the more I think about it, the more I realize I'm lucky, because it's such a tremendous challenge to perform the mitzvah of kibud av va'em properly. Like the Gemara says in Kiddushin about Rab Tarfon and some of the other Tanoim and Amoraim, who went to such incredible lengths to be mechabed their parents and said, Rab Zeira, I would never have been able to do that. And that's really what's expected of a child. And therefore, Rab Zeira said, you know, in a certain sense, I'm lucky not to have the parents my entire life, because I never would have been able to fulfill kibud av va'em the way I was supposed to. And therefore writes the Chemet, perhaps this is another additional reason why it is that we don't recite a bracha on performing this mitzvah, because one never knows how far the expectation really goes of kibud av va'em and what a person is really obligated to do to take care and to assist and to aid their parents. So we made brief mention yesterday about the unusual fact that the Torah here goes out of its way to tell us that leman ya'arichun yamecha, if a person performs the mitzvah of kibud av va'em properly, you'll be blessed with an arichas yam. And the Vilna Gaon finds it curious. Why is it that here, by the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, as well as by the mitzvah of shiluach hakan, we find that the Torah instructs us that if you do it properly, you're going to have the great bracha of arichas yamim. What is so special about these two mitzvahs, and what perhaps is in common with shiluach hakan and kibud av va'em, that only by both of these mitzvahs does the Torah ensure a person of having an arichas yamim, a long life? Writes the Vilna Gaon so beautifully. He says that ein hashlemas nikar ba'adam, perfection in a person's persona is only recognizable kisheyesh lo shnei midos hafuchos, only when a person is able to go to both extremes, only then do you see that you are the consummate human being. What does that mean? Dahainu, midas harachamim umidas haachzarius. Every person, look, some people are more caring, are more sensitive, and some people are more cold-hearted, some people are more cruel. People are created with different chunas hanefesh, with different capabilities, with different feelings, with different thoughts. And therefore he writes as follows. The Torah gives us an instruction that we have to be mechabed our parents properly. So if you happen to be a kind-hearted soul, you would do it regardless. If you happen to be a caring and sensitive person, anyone who has elderly parents would take care of them. That's what a normal human being would do. Writes the Vilna Gaon, that is not a proof that you are a real believer in God. That doesn't really prove that you should get schar, because that is just the natural intuition of a person. If you're a soft person, you would take care of somebody who needs help. And therefore writes the Vilna Gaon, when do we know that you are really an Eved Hashem in the true sense of the word? He says, when God also instructs you in the opposite direction, to do something that is so cold-hearted, that is so sadistic. When God asks you to do something like Shiluach HaKan, to throw away a mother from her children, what are you doing? Writes the Vilna Gaon, if God instructed you to do that, and you're able to do it, and that same person who is able to perform the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan only because God asked you to do it is also able to do the mitzvah of Kibud av va'em, that, writes the Vilna Gaon, is a proof that you truly deserve Arichas Yamim, because that shows that everything in your life is only about what the Ratzon Hashem is. It is only about what God expects of me, and that's why I'm willing to do both of these, even though they're so far to the extreme in both directions, but that shows I do everything that the Ribbono Shel Olam expects me to do, nothing more and nothing less throughout my life. And here, writes the Vilna Gaon, is an understanding as to why it is that after Avraham Avinu performs the incredible act of the Akedah, after Avraham Avinu goes through that whole tremendous challenge in his life, God says about him, Ataya dati, now I know, ki yirei Elokei mata, now I know that you're a God-fearing Jew. Really? Now you know he's a God-fearing Jew? How about the fact that throughout his life, Avraham Avinu was the first believer in God? How about the fact that he was running the first Baal Teshuva Yeshiva, and he was getting everybody to come along with him? He was welcoming everyone into his home. How about all of that that Avraham Avinu did until the moment of the Akedah? What does God mean? Ataya dati, now I know, ki yirei Elokei mata. What does that mean? Writes the Vilna Gaon. What it means is, perhaps Avraham Avinu was just a very kind person. So how do I know that every chesed that he was doing, how do I know that everything he was engaged in until this point in his life, how do I know that he was really doing it for me? How do I know that Avraham Avinu really had in mind, this is the Ratzon Hashem, this is what God expects of me, and that is why I'm doing it? writes the Vilna Gaon, that only became clear when he was willing to go to the opposite extreme and sacrifice his son, which was so against everything a normal human being would do. But he obviously did it only because God expected that of him, and God instructed him to do so. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, on this occasion, when that's what you're willing to show me, now I know, ki yirei Elokim ata. Now I know that every moment of your life is about what the Ribbono Shel Olam expects, what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, and it only becomes apparent and clear at this moment, at this stage of his life, because until this point, one could have said that he was just a very nice person, and that's why he was driven to do the acts that he did, and he was engaged in all the different things that he was doing, not because God expected it of him, but because this is what he felt was the right thing to do. So, when we come to the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim, writes the Vilna Gaon, it's the same idea. God expects of us to be kind-hearted people, not only because that is the way a normal human being is supposed to act, but also because this is the feeling that we're always supposed to have because God instructed us to do so. And even sometimes when we may not feel the urge to be a part of it, even sometimes when we might not feel the reciprocity, we might not feel that we owe it to our parents, we gave them so much back already, still we say, Kashut Sivcha Hashem Elokecha. We do it because this is what God expected us to do. This is what He asked of us. This is what the obligation of every child is meant to be. And writes the Chafetz Chaim, it is our obligation, it is our duty to educate ourselves and to make sure we become fully aware of that duty, of that obligation that the Ribbono Shel Olam expects of each and every one of us.